Well, good morning. It's good to see you all here today. We're going to be this morning in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42, we'll be looking at the first disciples that Jesus called. And we'll be studying that this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we read the word. Father, we do thank you for the love you give us and the chance we have today to come and worship you. And thank you that we are able to be here. That you have given us grace and mercy and given us another day of life. That we could come and worship you in this house together. And I just pray that as we have lifted up our voices in praise, that you have been worshipped. As we have given our tithes and offerings, God, we pray that has been to you, Lord, and that has honored you. And now that as we hear the message and this message is preached to us, may you speak to our hearts. Give me the words to speak, Lord Jesus, that what comes from me will be the words that you would have me to say. The words from my mouth will be your words. And we just love you, we praise you, and we pray again that you guide us through this service and through this sermon. And then may we be willing to make the decisions you call us to make later this evening or later this morning. And it's all these things we ask and pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. And if you will stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. And again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And then the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he said unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Yet thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." May God bless the reading of the word. Thank you. You may be seated. What is it that you seek? What do you seek? It's what Jesus asked of Andrew and the other disciple when they came and followed him, as we read in verse 38. We look at this passage, verses 35 through 42, and in my Bible it is titled, the heading for these seven verses, or eight verses, however many it is, the heading is "The First Disciples." Many times in our study of Christianity, we believe that Peter, James, and John are the first disciples, don't we? They were the ones on the boat, they were the ones that Jesus called in and said, "Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Now in other Gospels, it may have been that they were the first ones mentioned. But in this Gospel, in the Gospel of John, it is not Peter, James, and John that is first. It is Andrew and the other man. Now the other man is not named. We are not told who that is. But I believe it from other Gospels, I think it was Philip was the other man that was with him. I can't remember right off. But we know Andrew was one of them. And when we look at this passage, it does have John the Baptist again talking about him, mentioning him. And in the preceding verses 19 through 28 in particular, as I preached on the last couple of weeks, it talks about the testimony of John and John the Baptist and how he proclaimed that Christ was to come. He was what was called the forerunner. That he told that Jesus was to come, and Jesus was coming, and the Messiah was coming. And John the Baptist prepared the way for the Messiah, for Jesus. That when Jesus came, and when Jesus would fulfill his ministry, that the people would be ready to hear, wanting to hear the message and the ministry of Christ. It was John the Baptist that set that up. John the Baptist who proclaimed and taught the people and taught them about baptism. And we get to this passage that we read this morning, and we see that it is now where John the Baptist starts to kind of take a back seat, if you will. He starts to kind of fade off into the sunset, if you want to use that imagery. And we do hear from him later. But now it is really when Jesus is starting to take over his ministry. When John the Baptist has baptized Christ and the Holy Spirit has descended upon Christ, and John has proclaimed that this is the Messiah, this is the Lamb of God, and Jesus' ministry is really beginning at this point. And John's ministry is fading. And it's not that it's less important, but it's that Christ is more important. And even John said that. He that comes after me is preferred before me. He said that a number of times. In a number of instances in the preceding verses. In verse 27 he says it. He who is coming after me is preferred before me. Verse 27. And he says it one of the later verses as well. And that is taking place now. That Jesus is starting to begin his ministry. And the first part of the ministry that Christ had was the gathering together of his disciples. And it was not uncommon in that time, in the time of Christ, and when he lived on this earth, that a rabbi or a teacher would have a following of disciples. In the case of Christ, he had 12. And I don't know that 12 was always the number of disciples every rabbi master had. Jesus was not the only one. There were others. But I don't know that 12 was the only number, but in his case, that's how many he had. He had 12. We don't know how many John the Baptist had, but we do know that John the Baptist had disciples. You remember in one of the Gospels it mentions that John's disciples do not go and glean, but Jesus' disciples did go and glean out in the fields on the Sabbath day. And they wondered about that, and the Pharisees asked him about that. Why do you go and your disciples go and pick and glean the fields and while the disciples of John do not? And so we know that John the Baptist had his own following, his own inner core of men that he taught just as Jesus did. And John here in the first couple of verses of this passage, he takes his two disciples. And after he had proclaimed to the people around him that Jesus was the Lamb of God, the next day it tells us that those two disciples were with him. And he saw Jesus again in verse 36, and he said, "Behold," and he looked upon Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He said it again. Verse 29, he said that Jesus was the Lamb of God. And then in verse 36, he proclaimed it again. Now, in verse 29, when he mentioned it, it was really for the benefit of all the people that were around him listening. That Jesus is the Messiah. He is the promised one that the prophets foretold, that would come and save the people from their sin, from the sin of the world, and take away their sin. Jesus was that Lamb, and in verse 29, he was proclaiming that really in a broader spectrum of it's a global idea, a universal idea, that Jesus was the Lamb. But here in verse 36, it was more for these two disciples. And it was as if he was standing with those two disciples, and Jesus comes up and he says, "Here's the Lamb of God. That is the Messiah. He is the one that we are to worship and follow." And it's important that he says that because in a lot of ways what John was doing was he was getting those two men to realize they no longer needed to follow John. They needed to follow Jesus. See, the two disciples were disciples of John. They were followers of John. They had been a part of the ministry of John. They had learned from him. But now John was passing them on to Jesus. He was passing them to him. And those two men, it tells in verse 37, began to follow Christ and began to go after Christ, began to see who he was. And it was what John wanted. He wanted his disciples to follow Jesus. You know, a lot of things can happen there with ego at that point, can't it? You got John, who's a great preacher, a great man, a great leader of men, and you got these followers of his that want to go now and follow Christ, and it would be easy to let ego get in the way, wouldn't it? That I don't want you to leave and go follow him, I want you to follow me, but that's not what John wanted. John wanted them to follow Christ, and that's why it says, "This is the Lamb of God." And whenever he said that, those men realized, Andrew and another man realized, that there was something different about Christ. That he definitely was more than just a man. He was man, but yet he was great. And so they began to follow Jesus. Verse 37 says, the disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. You know, I think about this, and the first thing I want to teach us today, apply it to us today, and comes in the form of a couple questions, I guess. But in our time today, do we know that Christ is the Lamb of God? Now, I've read that last week in verse 29, and I read it today in verse 26, and I've presented that, told you that He is the Lamb of God according to the Bible, according to what John said, and He is. But do you believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God? Do you believe that He was the one sent by God to save us from our sins? Do you follow Him in that sense? Because just because it's true doesn't mean everybody believes it, does it? There are a lot of people in our world that do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, do not believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God. They do not follow Him. They do not go after Him the way that we do. They do not devote their lives to Him. But Jesus is the Lamb of God, and my question to you today is He the Lamb of God in your life? Has He taken away your sin? Has He given you eternal life? Has He saved you? Has He worked within you? And the other question I have is, will we follow Christ the way that these two men did when they found out that He was the Lamb? Realizing that Christ was the Messiah, realizing that Christ was special, realizing there was something different about Him, greater about Him than anyone else, they gave their life and devotion. Will we do the same? Will we follow Him? It's not enough just to know that He's the Lamb, but will we follow Him as the Lamb? Will we go after Him? Will we go after where He is and do what He tells us to do and allow Him to guide us in our lives? Will we follow the Lamb of God? We need to learn this morning that we need to follow Christ. We need to understand that He is a Savior, that He is a Lamb, that He has paid for the sins of the world, and it is my responsibility to follow Him. He has saved me. I have called upon Him. He is my Savior. He is my Lamb. And I will follow Him wherever I go. And you need to make that decision as well. This morning, if you've not given your life to Christ, today is the day that you come to know Him and you follow Him and you follow Jesus wherever He would take you, wherever He would want you to go. But then we look on into verse 38, and we come to the title of the message this morning, the question that Jesus asks, what seek ye? What are you looking for? What are you doing? What is it that you're seeking? These men had followed Christ. For some time they had been following John, they had been devoting their ministries to John's ministry, following him, learning from him, and now all of a sudden they're going to follow Christ. And Christ, knowing that they're following, knowing that they're coming after Him, He asks that question, what is it that you seek? Why are you following Me? You see, what Christ was doing was, He was questioning their motives. What do you know why it was they were following Him? What was their motivation for following Him? Was it that Jesus was just a new fad? John had said, this is the Lamb of God. He had been baptized. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove upon Him. He's performed miracles. He's spoken. He's a great speaker. Was He a new fad? Was it something different? You know, something we want to follow. And that's what we do as humans, isn't it? Something new comes along and everybody will jump on the bandwagon. Everybody will get into it. You remember the WWJD theme back about 7-8 years ago now. Remember when that came out? Actually, it was more than that now. I guess about 10 years ago now. When that first started, some church, I think it was a youth group up in Michigan or something I heard. I don't know where it was now. But anyway, they came up with that slogan, the WWJD. What would Jesus do? They made little bracelets. And it caught on. And you remember that? It wasn't long that every church in America had WWJD bracelets. And then you go to bookstores and there were WWJD bracelets, WWJD necklaces, WWJD earrings, WWJD books, WWJD mouse pads. You know, everywhere you looked, there it was everywhere. It became a fad, and everybody jumped on board. It went from being something that was a ministry for that youth group to being a moneymaker for the Christian businesses around the country. Everybody, and you remember that. You remember how infiltrated we were with it. And I'm not saying anything different about it. I'm not saying I'm bad about it. I'm not making fun of those that wore the bracelets. I'm just saying it became so popular, everybody jumped on board with it. Everybody, WWJ. And then there was the frog. Remember frog? Somebody came up with that. I'd make some money on this. I'm going to do frog. Fully relying on God was what frog stood for. You know, so pretty soon you had all these bracelets, that, all these acronyms that were coming out. It was a fad. Everybody jumped on it. Well, here's Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one that John, my master, says is the Lamb of God. And Jesus wants to know, are you following me because it's a fad? Are you following me because it's new? Are you following me because it's different? Is it a bandwagon? Why are you following me? Are you doing it because everybody else is doing it? Or are you just curious? Or do you want to follow me? Are you curious about what I'm going to do? You know, this is the Lamb of God. I want to see Him raise the dead. I want to see Him, you know, heal somebody. I want to see Him move a mountain. I want to see Him make water into wine. I want to see His miracles. It's curiosity. And no doubt there were people that followed Christ for curiosity's sake. I mean, let's face it, if we knew of somebody in our time today, they walk up to a dead person, bring him back to life, we'd follow him. Some of us follow him for no other reason but curiosity. We want to see what he's going to do. That's the way we are as humans. We're rubberneckers. You know, with that, you know, we always stick our nose. What's going to happen? You go by a wreck and you stop and look. You almost hit somebody because you were looking to see who got pulled over last other day going down the interstate. A little old lady going 40 miles an hour on the interstate, and here I am going 70, and I look over to see who's getting pulled. I almost run into the back of her because I'm a rubbernecker. You know, I'm looking. We're curious. Something new, something different, something unusual. We want to be a part of it. Is that why we follow Christ? Is it out of curiosity? Is it another reason? Do we follow for other reasons? Maybe it's not curiosity. Maybe it's habit. And that's the one that stabbed some of you in the gut just then, isn't it? Maybe you go to church. Maybe you follow Christ because it's habit. You don't have a relationship with Christ. You don't care about your relationship with Christ. You're not doing anything to cultivate it. You're not reading the Bible. You're not praying. You're not ministering. You're not doing anything. But all you know is for the past 50 years, you get up on Sunday morning and you go to church. And so on Sunday morning, you get up and you go to church. There's no relationship. There's nothing you care about. It's habit. It's ritual. And maybe that's why you follow Christ. Because your granddaddy did it. And your great-granddaddy did it. And your daddy did it. And your mama did it. Your brothers do it. And your uncles do it. And your great-great-great-grandfather was a pastor. And so you go to church every week. Because it's habit. It's ritual. Maybe that's why you follow. Maybe it's not curiosity. Maybe it's habit. Maybe it's ritual. Or maybe it's because you really do want to know who Christ is. You see, that's what Jesus wanted to know about Andrew and this other guy. I believe it was Philip. That's what he wanted to know. Why are you seeking me? What is your motive for following me? To see miracles? Because John told you to? Or do you want to know? Do you want to be devoted? Do you want to sell out? Do you want your life to be changed by me? Do you want to be my follower? Are you ready to sleep in on a desert out in the middle of nowhere? Are you ready to not know where you're going to get your next meal? Are you ready to sacrifice what you want to serve me? That's what Jesus said, isn't it? And then what he said, take up your cross and follow me. You know, I think so many times we sit here and we got our nice suits on in a nice air-conditioned Sunday school room. We say, yep, Jesus said to take up my cross and follow Him. We say that. We never think about what it really means, do we? We never think about it, do we? That means that I've got to sacrifice. Taking up a cross may not mean anything to us today in our culture, but you said that back in Jesus' time, that meant something. It meant that you were giving up your life. And that's what Jesus said. If you're going to follow me, if you're going to come after me, you've got to be willing to die to yourself. You've got to get rid of the things that you want and desire. They've got to be less important. They've got to, your family, your hobbies, you can have them, but they can't be as important as I am. I am first. I'm number one. I'm the most important. You've got to make me first, and if you can't do that, get rid of whatever it is that is above me. That's what Jesus said. And that's what he was saying to them. Why are you seeking me? Because you come after me, you're going to make a sacrifice. And you want to know, why are you following? Why are you coming? You know what, I think in a similar way, Jesus asked you and I the same question today as he asked Andrew and the other man, the other disciples of John that followed him. I think he asked them the same question he's asking us today. What seek ye? Why are you seeking me? Why are you following me? Why do you come to church? Why do you have why do you say you're a Christian? What is it that you want from me? What is it that you're following me for? Is it just habit? Is it just ritual? Or is there something there that's devoted? Something there that's faithful? I want to be different. I want to be holy and righteous as Christ is. I want to live for Him. I want to minister in His name. I want to have a relationship with God, and that's why I'm following Christ. I want to be a part of the Messiah, and I know He's a part of me. I think this morning we need to ask ourselves that question. Why am I following Christ? What is it that makes me follow Christ? What is my motivation? And I pray that if it's not to be Him, to know Him, to love Him, to be His servant, if that's not your motivation, to be the best Christian you can be, to be what Christ would have you to be, to follow Him and to be what He wants you to be, if that is not your motivation, if it's anything else, today you need to get that right with Him. You need to say, God, forgive me for just coming to church because it's ritual. Or forgive me for coming to church because it makes me look good to other people. Make me a relationship with You. Make me serve You. Make me seek after You, regardless of what anybody thinks, regardless of what I get. Make my relationship with You important to me. And I pray that today, before you leave, you will do that. Then one final thing before I close. He says in verse 39, they said unto Him, they said, we want to know who You are, where do You dwell? Verse 38, where do You dwell? Where do You live? Where do You stay? And He said to him, verse 39, Jesus said to them, He said, come and see. Jesus invited them. They wanted to know where He lived. They wanted to know about Him. He said, come and see. It was an interview. They were going through the interview process. You know what an interview is, don't you? You've been there. You got a job. You know, maybe you're a 15-year-old kid and you want to work at Little Caesars, you know, so you can make some money, you know, some joke money, you know, I don't know, I shouldn't say that, but you want to go work at Little Caesars and make some money to pay for your car and to pay for your insurance, to take your girlfriend out, or to pay for yourself because your boyfriend's too cheap to pay for you, whatever it is, you want to go work. So you go down there and you give them your application, you tell them, you know, you don't really want to work, but you tell them you want to work, and your mom and dad's making you down there, but you go down there and they interview you. You know? Why do you want to work? How are you going to get here? What kind of work are you going to be? You know, are you going to do what you're told to do? You're in the interview process. You know, the fast food places. And then you get a little older. And then you start getting real with your job, you know, and the interview process gets a little more intense, isn't it? Now you want to work. Now you want to be there. So you dress nice and you go and you're nervous, but you know, you've answered it. You've asked every question you can think of to yourself and answered it the best you could and in anticipation of what they're going to ask. And you go and you sit down and they ask and they interview and they want to find out who it is that you are. That's what an interview is. That's what the process does. It's the way for the employer to find out what they can about you. Now, they'll check your references, and they'll check your references, and they'll check your, you know, your grades in college, see what kind of student you were, and things like that. But they want to see you face-to-face. Why? Why, you know, I mean, we've got telephones, don't we? But they had telephones when? 1800s? Something like that? What do we have now? We got satellites. You know that? I mean, you can put on a webcam and have an interview over the computer. They can look at you face-to-face and talk to you. So why do you have to go there? Why do you have to go in person? Because they want to see you in person. You know, there's more to an interview, isn't there, than just asking questions. What else they want to know? They want to know if you're going to be on time, don't they? You know, the first question of any interview is, how punctual are you? If they say be there at 10, you get there at 10:15, you're already in trouble. You know, you're already almost losing the job. They want to know you're going to be there on time. They want to know how you're going to dress. They want to know how you're going to look, how you're going to take care of yourself. Because that says a lot about a person. And then they want to find out about who you are. They want to know you. They're going to ask you and find out the kind of person you are. And that's what Jesus did with these men. Verse 39, He said, come and see. come to the house. And they went with him and they stayed with him, it says, through the night. It was about the 10th hour, and they stayed with him that day. And for that day, they asked Jesus questions. Who are you and what are you and what is it that you want to do? And he asked them questions. Why are you following? And what kind of devotion are you going to give? And they interviewed and they talked and they got to know each other. Jesus wanted to know, are you going to follow me? And they wanted to know, are you worth following? And tonight we'll find out the answer to that question, but I'll give you a sneak preview. You already know it. They found out he was worth following. And Jesus found out they were worth following him. And so they interviewed each other, and I think in the same way Christ interviews us. He wants to know, what kind of Christian are we going to be? Are we going to follow? Are we going to be devoted? He wants us to interview. He said, come to my house. Randall, come to my house. Come and see my house. Come sit down with me. Come talk to me. Come tell me what's on your mind. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you don't want. Tell me what you want to do. Tell me what you don't want to do. And I'll tell you what I want, what I don't want, what I want to do, what I don't want to do. We'll interview. We'll talk. Come and see. Come spend time with me. You spend time with the Savior. He invites you to come. Come and see. Are you going to go spend time with the Savior? You know, we've been challenged in a lot of ways this morning, haven't we? Come and see the Father, and what is our motives for following Him, and are we going to follow Him? Are we going to go after Him, seek after Him, whatever? I don't know what God has spoken to you about this morning. I don't know what God is doing in your life. I am invitation this morning is number 502. Whatever God has spoken to you about, maybe you need to say, you know what? I do come to church for the wrong reasons. I'm not following Christ the way I should. I come because my grandma came, my dad came, and I've been going my whole life. I don't care about God. I've never cared about God. I just go because I'm supposed to go. It's a habit. It's a ritual. Or maybe say, you know what, I just don't have anything else to do on Sunday morning. It's just boring, so I'll go to church, which I can't imagine come listen to me. But anyway, that was just a joke. But whatever it is, you know, maybe you're not following Christ the way you know you should. And you've heard something today and you say, you know what? My motives aren't right. I don't have the right motivation for following Christ. And you know what's even sadder? Maybe you're not following Christ at all. It's not that your motivation's wrong. You're not even doing it. You're not even, I mean, you don't even know why you're coming to church. I don't even know why I'm coming because I don't even care. Maybe you're not even following Christ. Or maybe you're following Christ. Maybe you're following the right motives, but you say, you know, I need to come and spend time with God. Find out, you know, I'm following Him, but I'm not listening right. And I need to know what He wants me to do. I need to interview. I need to go and visit with Him like He invites me to do. I don't know what God wants to do, but hymn number 502, we're going to sing that hymn of invitation. And you're going to come and make your decision. Father, You've spoken to us so many ways today. You've taught us so many things. And God, it all starts with me, and I pray, God, that I am following You. I pray that my motives are right. And I know that I fall short. And I know, Lord, that I sin, and I do things, Lord, that displease You. But I pray that You would help me to follow You and to be the example to the people in the church, that my life will be devoted to You, that I don't just come because it's ritual, but because I want to be here, because I have a relationship with You. And it's easy, God, for us sometimes to get bogged down. Easy for us to get allow the things of the world to burden us and to distract us and overwhelm us. But God, we just got to put it all aside. Follow You with all our heart, with all our mind, and everything we are. And give You all of ourselves. God, may we meet with You and spend time with You and find out what it is You want from us. That we'll be willing to do that. God, whatever You've spoken to us today, whatever You want to do, I pray that as we sing the hymn invitation, hymn number 502, I pray as we sing that, that You would speak to our hearts. It's all these things we ask in the name of Jesus.